Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are and what you do. Guide our words and this morning, and we pray in Jesus' name and amen. Listeners,
amen.
Thank you. And listeners, this morning we have a guest, Rick Martin, with the Constitutional Law Group, and he has a lot of important work that he is doing to preserve our rights and so that we have our constitutional rights, and he hopes to show us, tell us about what they are, so we can learn and be a part of protecting our own rights. They begin from natural rights, and they go all the way through law. Well, excuse me, Rick Martin, I would like to hear you speak instead of me, so I'm so glad you're here today. Thank you for putting your time into this.
I thank you for the time to open the eyes of people out there and let them know what's really going on in the world. And it is my pleasure, and we do this as a labor of love. And we truly, truly need to wake people up and get them on point with what's truly going on. As I stated back on March 19th, as I said before, it was my 50th birthday, and they decided to shut down Texas. And me, with all the hours of law experience I have, I knew it was totally unlawful and way outside the Constitution. So what we did, we started the Reopen America campaign, and I've been traveling across the country educating people and defending. I was the one that went to Snohomish, Washington, to defend a 79-year-old Marine barber that had a barber shop for 50 years that they were trying to shut down and fine $90,000. Well, we went there, and we put an end to it. We've also filed against 42 governors across the United States, and we're using their own laws against them that originally were unconstitutional and still unconstitutional, which was the Patriot Act. But we have a definition of what a domestic terrorist is, which can be found in Section 802 of the Patriot Act, and I would advise people to read into it. We're also currently in Vermont right now, and I'm going to meet with a possible, well, she is going to be, we're hoping, the next governor of Vermont, and doing a meeting with them today, and educating the Vermonters on what they have to do to take back their rights and to hold government servants, and they are our servants, to the rule of law. The Constitution, as I state, did not give us our rights. We have unalienable rights endowed to us by our Creator. We created government to protect those rights, protect our borders, and to coin our money. And they're failing miserable at doing the three things that they were delegated to do. They have no business in health care. They have no business in Social Security. They have no business in welfare. That's the job of the church, and that's the job of the offspring of the elderly to take care of their own parents. And what I'm telling people is we need, as a society, to remember who we are and to get back to the basics of life. Government is a Frankenstein we allowed to get out of control, and they're acting outside their oath of office, which is an act of sedition and treason against we, the people of the United States. And it's going to take us standing together, unified, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, and not just Walmart and the big box stores. We have to save those mom-and-pop businesses, people that have been in businesses for years and put their lifeblood into it, have been closed down because of ignorance and tyrannical city governments, county governments, because they didn't know any better and they didn't know how to fight against a corrupt system. Our duty is to be our brother's keeper, and our duty is to educate those that are suffering from ignorance, that have not read the Constitution, do not know what their rights really are. And as a society, we need to be a brother's keeper, as I said, and educate our brothers. The whole face mask wearing is so harmful, and that's what they did in the Muslim society, is to put a face mask on the women to make them submissive. We as a people do not need to be submissive to government. Government needs to be submissive to we, the people. Now, I know I'm bloviating a little bit. I have not really prepared a speech, but I'm always open for questions. And a lot of the questions can be answered if your audience would go to constitutionallawgroup.us. And that's constitutionallawgroup.us. I have a lot of information there and how to file claims against people that are forcing you to wear a mask, how to file claims against their governors or city officials or county officials, any government agent that violates his oath of office and your rights. And I'm giving remedy to the people. They just have to go and take the time to read and follow the instructions, because we can, as a people, take back our republic. And that is my goal. That is my dream. And I believe that's all of our destiny, is to take back this nation under God. And I'm happy to answer questions, John. Yeah.
To take back our country is certainly what we want. And we say we want our liberties, but we have to take steps actively to maintain or keep or bring back our liberties. And that is so very important. I like what you said about the face masks, how they take, well, I'm thinking that they take away from our individual identity, from who we are.
That is correct.
As a person,
and it also harms us. It causes so many diseases and what have you.
Yes.
We just had a case the other day that I was on the phone with in Minnesota, and the mother showed up, and the nurse would not let her son, who had asthma, take off the face mask. When she got there, her son was blue.
Wow.
Was literally blue. And I told the mother, she goes, "What can I do about it?" I said, "You file against the school administrators, the principal, the nurse, for child endangerment with the sheriff." Mm-hmm. Your sheriff is supposed to be protecting your rights from intrusive government. That's the oath that he took. You don't go to your municipalities. Your police chief was not voted in. He's appointed in by the mayor. The most powerful person that you have in your county, besides we the people, because we elect the sheriff on board to protect our rights. You have to go and get that sheriff, and you got to hold him accountable. Are you going to uphold your oath of office? Are you going to stand for the rights of the people, or are you going to cower and let them destroy one of the greatest nations the world has ever known and destroy our rights?
Yes.
But we the people have to start standing, and we got to stand in unity, because I've been standing, and let me tell you, I've been beaten, I've been jailed, I mean, I've been through it all. I always come out on top, but that's by the grace of God. And we have got to get God back in with us as well.
And speaking of God, I want to speak about how important it is to pray for a man like you who is doing the work that we ought to be doing ourselves. And we need to pray for the people to stay strong, like Rick Martin. So I want to remind everybody of that. How do we interact with our sheriffs? I mean, there's so many people who don't even know who our local sheriff is.
And that's tragic.
Yes.
That is absolutely tragic, because he is the most powerful law enforcer in your county. He can arrest the mayor. He can arrest the governor. He can arrest the president of the United States in his county. He can arrest an FBI agent, anybody in his county that's acting outside their oath of office or violating the rights of the people. It is his duty to protect the rights of the people. And we, the people, need to put a fire under his backside and get him to do his job. That's what he was elected by the people to do. And we are collecting sheriffs all across the nation right now. And go and sit and have coffee with your sheriff. Go and ask him, are you going to uphold your oath of office? If not, we need you to step down and appoint somebody that will. Because this can't go on any longer. Our nation is ending as we speak if we don't stand up now. We already know what's going to happen come election time. There's going to be fraud all over the place. And we need these county sheriffs to have deputies out there at the polling places. And we already know the fraud that's going to be behind the mail-in ballots.
Yes.
We need to protect our elections. We also need to start working together. I say start boycotting the big box stores, because
yeah,
they're forcing people unlawfully to wear masks and social distance, which is all unlawful. It has no value in law. And that, you know, like I said, the mandates are not law. Law has to go through legislature, okay?
Yes.
It has to be voted on. And even if it does become law after being voted on, we go back to the Supreme Court of 1803, which still has never been overturned to this day,
uh-huh,
and that's Marbury versus Madison, where Chief Justice John J. Marshall stated, any law repugnant to the Constitution is no law, has no force of law, and can be ignored. How much more simple can that be?
Yes.
And then there's another one that fits to this day right now that's even, it's not far, not as old, but it was a 1996 case when Sheriff Rick Mack went up against the Clintons and lived to talk about it. And he defeated the Brady Bill. And what Chief Justice Scalia stated in his ruling was quite simple, and it rings so true today. He stated, the Constitution protects us from our own best intentions. Think about that.
That's striking.
Okay? Now, what I want people to start paying attention, they want to learn law and they want to learn it quickly, get themselves a pocket Constitution. You can pick it up for like $1.50, okay? Then go to our website, which is, it's on, the Constitution is in this book, but go and have them. It's 84 pages, okay? They'll learn more law just by reading the Sheriff Handbook, which I have the PDF on that. If they would just take the time to educate themselves and take action. And I said, as a gift of love to their sheriff, hand them the handbook and ask them to read it. Most sheriffs don't even realize the power they possess.
Yes.
The sheriff is the most powerful man under we the people in your county. And my dream is to take our nation back county by county. There are 3,133 counties in the United States. And if we could just get 600 to 900 of them on board, we can change the tide of tyranny.
Yeah. I've been aware of sheriffs, the power of sheriffs, for quite a while, so I am really glad to hear you say that. I remember in New Hampshire, as I recall it was, that they eliminated county sheriff positions and became state offices.
Nope, it's not. It's not New Hampshire.
It is actually
Connecticut.
Connecticut. Thank you. Yes.
It's Connecticut, which calls itself the constitutional state.
Is that so
ironic or what?
Thank you for correcting me. I appreciate that very much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I want to get the correct information out there.
Me
too. But what they're also doing right now is they're paying off with big ticket prices, paying off sheriffs, and bringing in their own now. Which is, they know that the sheriffs are that powerful.
Yes. Their own people, you mean? They're bringing in their own people?
They're bringing in their own people by getting rid of sheriffs that will stand.
Oh, I see,
And they're giving early pensions and big paychecks to get them out of office. And we've got to stop this.
Ooh. Yep. Oh, boy. That's serious, because it's...
Yes, it is very, very serious.
Yeah.
And the other thing that we've got to focus on is educating the churches, okay? These churches are 501c3s, okay?
Yes.
They sold out to the governments. They already had tax exemption status. Now you've got the government telling what to teach in the churches. I've got several hundred churches that never closed, never social distanced. It is so refreshing to go into these churches and speak and nobody wearing a mask. The congregations become my heroes because they are making a stand and saying no more. Now, with these companies that are enforcing the mask, the one thing I can say is start going into our website, look at the affidavit of fact and the presumptive letters, and start reading the instructions and doing them against these companies are forcing masks, okay?
Yes.
We've got to end it, because this is insanity. And we can end this insanity with education and faith.
Mm-hmm.
Education and faith are the things that we need right now. And by the grace of God, you got me on your show, and it's such a pleasure to speak with you and your audience on what needs to happen.
I hear that we could be in for a few more years, actually, if we don't stop the mask tyranny right now.
Well, what you're looking at right now is a health epidemic from wearing the mask.
Yeah.
It's high capnia and hypercapnia and hypoxia, and then people are getting, staph infections in their mouth. Their teeth are falling out.
Oh.
I mean, you're putting your life in jeopardy. You're committing slow suicide.
Yes.
And not to mention, you're killing brain cells. It's almost like being intoxicated because you're lack of oxygen to the brain.
Yes.
And I think that's what they want, is a bunch of stupid sheep running around, totally ignorant what they're doing. And if we don't start getting the information into the public's hands and letting them know that you're responsible. You have to stand up. You know,
yes.
I have no problem being thrown in jail. I've been thrown in jail more times than I can count.
Uh-huh.
But they always, when they do unlawfully, they buy me a new automobile.
Uh-huh. Well, the judges...
I'm not kidding you, because, you know, when they violate your rights, that's a serious crime.
Yes.
And you go after the prosecutors. Most people are unaware that the prosecutor is supposed to be in that courtroom with his personal checkbook in case he harms you. And if a judge violates his oath of office, he's acting in treason and sedition against the people. and I have arrested judges, prosecutors, and law enforcement officers, and CPS workers. And I'm probably one of the most hated men for what I do by government officials. But I'm also one of the most loved men by correct law officials.
Yes.
I have more cops that give me hugs, and just for a little fun, I haven't had a driver's license since 2001 when mine expired. And I haven't had plates. The plates on my car say, "Don't tread on me," the Gladstone flag, on all my automobiles. And everybody says, "Man, you must get pulled over a lot." I said, "No, I don't."
Yeah.
You know, the state of Texas has bought me very expensive automobiles.
I want to read.
So they're always,
yes.
They always wonder, when I'm pulling this car over, I had a 911 turbo Porsche all-wheel drive convertible, silver in color. And I had my "Don't Tread on Me" plates, and they're like, "How do you not get pulled over?" And I said, because they figure this guy's driving a $140,000 automobile. He must know the law.
Oh, that's really funny. Now, I want to remind everybody that prayer is so important. Every one of us needs prayer. Every one of us who is seeking to do God's will. And a part of God's will is that we remain in free with liberty. And a part of what Rick Martin is doing with his constitutional law group is preserving our liberties. So I want to remind everyone to say a prayer, or lots of prayers, for what he and his group is doing. Okay, I do appreciate what you're talking about, because we are a nation under laws, they say. Yeah, but
we're supposed,
but we forget
law
about...
Law is supposed to protect us.
Right.
Law is there to protect us, not interest. And traffic law is only valid if I'm engaged in commerce.
Yes.
And if I'm not being paid to go from point A to point B, I'm not engaged in commerce. And most, my brother was a state trooper in the state of Texas.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, for Christmas dinner, I showed up with my "Don't Tread on Me" plates on my automobile. And he showed up in his police car and full uniform. And I said, "Way to dress up for Mom's Christmas dinner." And he looked down, saw my plates, and said, "I ought to arrest you for those plates you have on your automobile." I said, "I tell you what, Mike." I said, "I'll take your misdemeanor charge against me and turn it into a felony against you." And he looked at me, "You're out of your mind." And my father, who is a former police officer, looked over and says, "Mike, you better back off. Your brother knows what he's talking about." "Dad, how can you agree with him? He's out of his God-blessed mind." I went into his police cruiser, and I took out his LexisNexis Texas Traffic and Criminal Law Handbook, which is about 3 inches thick. I turned to 502.003 and said, "Read that." He read it, and he saw the law right there written in his own law book and said, "Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that was in there." And I said, "Yeah, Mike, ignorance of the law is what?" And after that, he stopped writing speeding tickets.
Oh.
Became a Texas Ranger, and now he's the U.S. Marshal that goes after the top 10 most wanted, because he learned from his older brother that he was in violation. When I called him a road pirate, he realized I was exactly correct.
That's an awesome story.
That is how the law works. When you know the law, you can use it, you can flex your rights, and you can take care of these people that are out there just road pirating. I haven't had inspection stickers. I haven't had any of that on my automobile for decades, since 2001. And I defeat them in court every time. If I get arrested, they're buying me a new automobile.
Uh-huh.
And that's learning the law and knowing how to defend yourself against a corrupt judicial system. And a good friend of mine, her name is Sydney Powell, she was the one that defended General Flynn. If you recall, she's from Dallas, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a book out that I'm going to trump. Okay, I love the word trump, by the way. But she pretty much breaks down the corruption that's going on in the judicial system. And I would suggest everyone read her book and also go on to our website, because I have new things coming up all the time. And look at our videos, because you'll start becoming more and more
enlightened, educated.
Enhanced. Yeah, you're going to become more educated, and you're going to be more enhanced in your knowledge on how to defend those rights and how to flex those rights correctly. And you do want to get law enforcement on your side.
Yes.
I've had officers that have pulled me over, and I never pull off the side of the road. I always put my hazard lights on and look for the nearest parking lot or driveway to get out of the roadway, because I'm protecting them from being hit while they're trying to ask me questions.
Yeah.
However, I had a Houston police officer pull me over. He was a sergeant, 17 years on the force, 3 years from retirement. I pulled over. I start talking the law to him. He's like, "You're the smartest man I've ever met. I've never heard this stuff before." And I said, "You know, I'm happy to educate you." He says, "I get off in an hour. Can we meet at Denny's?" I said, "Certainly." We sat down, had coffee for about 2 hours, and that same day he quit being a Houston police officer and said, "I can't do this. This is satanic. This is crazy. I'm a Christian. I can't do this." And he became a carpenter.
Wow. Well, I think...
Knowledge is power. Even when most of these cops don't know, they're being used as cannon fodder by these corrupt judges and corrupt prosecutors.
I think that 1803 Mulberry versus Madison is a very good start for all of us to realize that there are laws that are contrary to the Constitution.
And you also want to even go even earlier than that. It's the 1796 case, okay? That is, Neal versus, oh, goodness. It's skipping my mind right now. Not enough coffee in me. But Cruden versus Neal. Yeah, it's with a C, Cruden versus Neal. Look up that one. And then when it goes to licensing, go to Murdoch versus Pennsylvania. I'll let your audience do a little homework for themselves. And then there's Shuttlesworth, and this is on licensing also. It's Shuttlesworth versus City of Birmingham, Alabama. Also deals with licensing. Read those cases. When you can read those cases off to a judge, judges run off the bench, and they do that when I walk into a courtroom because they know that I'm walking in there with the armor of God, and I'm going to do battle.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if we could all be so strong, and one part of it is to be educated, and we all have a certain ignorance of, and ignorance is just lack of knowledge. It's
absolutely not, and ignorance, like I said, it is dangerous. It's not a blissful thing. And being ignorant of the law means you don't know the law.
Yes.
And if you don't know your rights, the laws won't protect you.
Yes.
And that's what you got to focus in on, is because they're in total violation of the law and their oaths of office. And most of these governors are acting in treason and sedition against the American people. Same thing with these judges. These prosecutors, you guys are being used as cannon fodder for their pension funds, which I can prove all day long. And it's going to take we the people learning how to defend themselves and put the Frankenstein back in its place. Because it's running amok, ladies and gentlemen. It is running amok. And what we need is people to start studying the law, and that's what the Constitutional Law Group has been doing since 1996, is teaching the law. And we do it as a labor of love. We only live on donations alone. And that's how we plan to play, because if it was all about the money, we'd be working for the wrong side most of the time. And I've got one phenomenal team that spends, I've got guys that spend as much as 80 hours a week of their own time assisting the Constitutional Law Group.
Wow.
And, you know, like I said, it's a labor of love. And like I said, we always welcome donations, because I think you probably already know I've spent over $100,000 of my own savings in the past 2 years going after child traffickers, and now the scamdemic.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I did not know that, but all I can do is say thank you right now. But it's so very important that we eliminate this immorality from our society.
Oh, absolutely. Evil's going to be among us, but
yes.
Right now, evil's got such a foothold, or actually got such a foot on the throats of the American people that, you know, it's going to take a lot of prayer, and it's going to take a lot of charity from each other.
Yes.
And like I said, we must be our brother's keeper. We must wake them up. We must show them the truth, and the truth will shine through, and these people that are walking around blind are going to wake up and realize how foolish they've been by destroying their own God-given health by wearing a mask that has, all you got to do is read the box. It's not going to protect you from any of this nonsense.
That's right. One of those things that you mentioned about the government officials, and they do get benefits by enforcing the certain laws, and they get it in their pensions, for instance. Some of them get extra monies also when there's an emergency declared. Yes, please.
Every judge is collecting 18% for each conviction. Why do you think that there's more people in prison in the United States than the whole world combined?
I didn't know that.
Because it's, yes, the state of Texas has got more people in prison than China, has in their prisons. And China is what, several billion people?
Yes.
But the state of Texas has over 20% of its population behind prison walls because it's profitable. It's not about justice. It's about bonding. And you ask any judge what a bid bond is, what a performance bond is, and what a payment bond is. It's not every court. You can look this up. I'm giving a little more information that may go over some people's head, but check me out. Every district court is a corporation. Check them out on Dun & Bradstreet and see if they don't have a Dun & Bradstreet number. What is a Dun & Bradstreet number? It's a for-profit corporation, and these judges are making 18% off of each conviction.
Yeah, that's...
Now, here's another fun fact that I'm going to throw out there.
Yeah.
I am not a bar attorney. Bar
right.
stands for British Accredited Registry, okay? They're all bar members are members of they're all esquires for the Crown. Look that up, okay? Ask any bar attorney if he's an esquire. See what he says. Mm-hmm. When you walk into a courtroom with a bar attorney, in the law books, it states that you're an imbecile of unsound mind or an infant that automatically gives the court jurisdiction over you. You're now a ward of the court. If you go in there under the Sixth Amendment with assistance to counsel, you are you're there sub juris, and you still have all your rights intact. This is what people don't realize.
No,
because we've been lied to. We have been lied to for over a century, and the Bar Association didn't come into play in the United States until 1909 in Chicago, Illinois. And then it spread through the nation like a cancer cell, and it didn't hit Texas until 1939. A judge will ask me, well, Mr. Martin, you're not licensed to practice law in my courtroom. And I always have to ask him, Judge, are we in a court of record? Yes, we are. Okay. Are you licensed to practice law? Of course I am. I'm the judge. Is the prosecutor licensed to practice law? Of course he is. He's the prosecutor. Great. May I see it? It doesn't exist. There's only two states in the nation that have license to practice law. That's Alaska and Hawaii. Every other one is a bar membership. It's an association. It has nothing to do with licensing. Check that out.
I am.
Now that I've gotten a judge to admit on the record, perjure himself, I have to ask him, okay, now that you've perjured yourself on the record, how will we go from here?
What did they say? What can they say?
They run off the bench most of the time.
Uh-huh.
Because I just caught them lying on the record.
That's a tough position to be in for them.
Absolutely. And I've had a judge literally arrested by the bailiff. I talked to the bailiff before the court started, and I said, if the judge does this, I expect you to arrest him. He's like, well, that's the judge. I can't do that. I said, yeah, you can, because you're the executive branch in this courtroom. You have to arrest him, or I hold your feet to the fire and throw you in jail.
How interesting.
I nodded, too, when the judge did exactly what I had planned he would do. The bailiff, I nodded to him. He walked behind the judge and said, Judge, I need you to stand up. And the judge was totally shocked.
Uh-huh.
He says, you're under arrest. He read his rights to him. We walked him across the hallway to a full courtroom. The court just totally stopped in astonishment, saw us walk in with a handcuffed judge. And I said, Judge, I need you to magistrate him. Here's the claim against him. And he gave him a bail of $50,000. I screamed, is that all?
That is very interesting. What a lot of power we have, but we just don't know it.
That's correct. And the judge is supposed to be a non-biased party, okay? He's not supposed to be asking you questions. When a judge asks me questions, I stop and I go, excuse me, you're the judge, correct? He goes, yeah, I'm the judge. Yes. And I'll look over at the prosecutor. I said, you're the prosecutor, right?
Right.
He says, yeah, I'm the prosecutor. And then I look at the judge and I said, then why are you asking me discovery questions? Isn't that the job of the prosecutor?
Yes.
That's slapping a judge in the face.
Yes.
And normally when you hit them like that, they don't want to open their mouth again because they realize you're learned in the law.
And
that's what a real lawyer is learned in the law. An attorney is not somebody that's learned in the law. It's somebody that studied for the bar exam.
Uh-huh.
They know procedure. They don't know law.
Procedure, yes.
They know procedure. They don't know law. I know the law, and I also deal with their bogus procedure.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't want to lose you, but I got to get back on the road.
Okay.
And I can answer some questions along the way, so bear with me.
Yes. If
Oh, I got something beeping, and I don't know why.
This is so important for every one of us regular citizens to understand so that we can stand up for our rights.
Right, and another thing you got to watch out for, and I don't mean to cut you off. I have a habit of doing that, is you are not a U.S. citizen.
Please.
When they ask you in court that if you're a U.S. citizen, no, you're not. A U.S. citizen is an employee of the United States government. Now, how do they make you an employee of the United States government? If you're collecting a Social Security check or putting into Social Security, guess what? That's a government retirement fund.
That would make a person a U.S. citizen then?
Right, but you don't have to give that information out. I'm not a U.S. citizen. They ask me all the time, are you a U.S. citizen?
Uh-huh.
I got rid of my Social Security. I got rid of any government payment that I would get, and I work strictly off of my own investments.
Then what we would be is citizens of the state of where we live.
You'd be a Texas state citizen.
Yeah.
But I would, you don't want to use the word citizen. Whenever you hear the word citizen, you always think of a slave. Okay? My attitude is, no, I'm a Texan. And that's all I say, is no, I'm a Texan, or I'm a Vermonter, whatever state you're in. And if they say, well, you are a U.S. citizen, you always say, objection, no, I am not. I am not a government employee. That makes me a second-class citizen. Uh-huh. I'm we the people, and I'm your boss.
Yes. As a citizen of the state, tell me more about that.
Okay, you don't want to say citizen. You just want to say the state that you live in, and you're not a resident either.
Okay.
You're not a resident. A resident is temporary, so you're not a resident. But there's so much we can go into at a later date.
Okay.
And I would love to have a whole bunch of bullet points that I could hit on. But, you know, I think I might be getting a little too far into things.
Okay.
People suffer a lot from cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
If I give them too much information, you know, it's difficult for them to grasp. But the main focus is get them to our website, constitutionallawgroup.us, and get them looking at the videos. Get them looking at the documentation.
Okay. I am so very glad to have had you a guest on Christ Today, Rick Martin. I appreciate very much that you would be here and willing to speak to the audience.
We do it right, and we stand together.
Yes. Yes. ConstitutionalLawGroup.us.
Can you hear me?
Okay, you're breaking up now. Thank you very much, Rick Martin. I appreciate very much your being a guest on Christ Today. And everyone can go to constitutionallawgroup.us and get more information for how we can each protect our rights, the rights that we all have under God. And that's where we derive our rights from God. And that's in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. They are all essential parts to keeping the liberties that we are guaranteed under God. It is not a matter of the government. Uh-oh. Before we started, our guest, Rick Martin, said he was going through an area where the cell phone service might be interrupted. And it looks like his and our phone call has just stopped. So I will talk for a little bit and we'll see what happens next. And isn't it just how life goes? A surprise? Yes, I think that is how life has been today and also throughout the ages. A surprise here, a surprise there, and we keep going with life. About law, it makes sense to me that written law attempts to keep life going along more predictably. Just look at today, or look at thousands of years ago. Always, mankind has had disputes and issues. That is a fact, just like it is a fact that when a person wants what another person possesses, there is a conflict. And we know that this has resulted in lots and lots of wars and death and destruction. So, instead of people getting killed, what do you say that we all impose an order for resolving conflicts or disagreements? Yeah, in the olden days, we went to the king or to elders to resolve conflicts. And then there was God's way and the law of love through Jesus Christ, which was to love God and love your neighbor. Well, to get a better understanding, read it for yourself in Matthew 22:37 and Mark 12:29 and Luke 10:27. Well, kind of along with this thought, there is the golden rule, which comes from the Bible in Matthew 7:12. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. And that's kind of out of Leviticus 19:18 also. Well, see, our God has always reflected godly love, which includes compassionate and eternal concern for all people involved. Speaking about law, I remember in college we were introduced to the idea that the Code of Hammurabi was the first codified law, and it was written on a good-sized stone in 1700 BC. And let me tell you that what we learn in school is not the truest truth. Oh, yes, secular history is true, but the truest truth is definitely in the Bible. That Code of Hammurabi was a total of 282 laws, and they often related to merchandise or to farming or to grain in its quantity and its quality of the grain, and if there were damages to it. The Code of Hammurabi was mostly about contracts, and it included buying land. Oh, one of the laws said that a man could give his wife or his daughter as security for the promised down payment, but only for a maximum time of 3 years. Oh, and there were other laws that included resolving crop damage or crop storage fees or tenant rights. There were also laws about wives and dowries and children and mistresses, as well as the amount for fines or for what money was or for how the death penalty would be for some offenses. See, that was what developed into contract law in 1700 BC in Babylon. And it was complex with 282 laws. Oh, complex. I have to laugh because to call 282 laws complex is funny to me as I think about today's laws where there are at least tens of thousands here in the United States. Many of them are 100 years old or 200 years old, but they stay on the books and they are not enforced. A couple of years ago, I asked Google how many laws there were in the United States of America. Google answered that there were over 30,000 gun laws. And I laughed at that because I did not ask about gun laws. I asked about laws. But Google's answer from a couple of years ago was about gun laws. Well, anyway, the number of laws there are on the books are just so very many, many, many. So how did American law develop? Its basis at first was British common law, where local customs and traditions were developed and followed. The judge was often a local prince or baron. And a more important basis of law today was from 1215 AD. The Magna Carta. That happened when well-armed princes and barons forced King John, the King of England, to sign an agreement acknowledging that the princes and the barons and the knights had reasonable God-given rights. Apparently, they were ready to kill the king if he did not agree to acknowledge those rights. Apparently. Well, after the Magna Carta, over the next 300 or 400 years, that Magna Carta became the basis of legal customs and laws to develop in England. The laws expanded to include the rights of noblemen or freemen and then commoners in England. They expanded to the point that by 1620, when the Pilgrims landed in America, common law was pretty well established. But the king was still the king, and he had special rights and privileges. But the nobleman and the knight and the commoner had more access to legal justice than existed in other countries. And that is our heritage, and that is our tradition. And today in America, we have a great contest going on in the field of law. This contest is between different basic forms of law and what will be allowed to be a basis of judgment or even to dominate in our courts. Will it be common law, English common law, or English statute law, or English marine law, or European Union law, United Nations law, or Muslim Sharia law, or biblical law, or constitutional law? What law will be allowed in our United States courts? Well, judges here in the United States of America have used all of these forms of law to justify the decisions of the cases that have been before them. It's hard to believe that judges have done this, but you can see cases in the past couple of decades where the U.S. judges have referred to the law of these foreign legal systems. So our United States courts are changing. And yes, we can and must make our constitutional law argument. But we also have to be prepared to appeal to the next higher court. So, yes, we can learn constitutional law. We ought. We ought to. Or we can hire a bar attorney. And remember, bar stands for British Accreditation Regency. And you have to discern that question for yourself. Are you going to represent yourself? Are you going to have an attorney represent you? What authority do we operate under? Questions, questions. And certainly a lot goes on that we do not know about. Yes, our government has secrets. Yeah, one example is the John F. Kennedy CIA assassination files. They were to have been made public after 50 years. But after 50 years, some were still kept sealed in their secret condition. And nowadays, look at how the National Security Agency identifies and watches each one of us with cameras, with record keeping. And our every phone call is permanently recorded and stored in a national security computer, NSA computer. We can only imagine if we, the people, will remain free in the future, or if some of us will have to go to re-education camps. Ha! Yeah, what? Well, how could that happen? Well, it's happened in other countries, and we have to think about what kind of rights do we have. Apparently, we have the right to choose our own sex, and we have the right to learn that abortion is right, but we don't have the right to choose to wear a mask or to get a vaccination or to attend an indoor church service. We don't have those rights. Those aren't laws. Those are decrees. A law has to be passed by the legislators. And emergency laws only are in effect for a limited period of time. But all these things are in conflict right now. They are being determined. And some of us still remember that last line in the Pledge of Allegiance: one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. That brings to mind a quote from Ronald Reagan, our 40th U.S. president, from the 1980s. It goes, "If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." Yeah. Just look at our history, the history of mankind, that is, and you will see that there are consequences to our actions. You could even call that judgment that God puts upon nations and peoples. Often enough, it happens by natural disasters. That's the way I look at it as. And so I look at our natural disaster potential in a geological time frame, and I see that earthquakes often happen at regular intervals. And scientists say that we are overdue for some big earthquakes like Cascadia, San Andreas, and the New Madrid fault line. That New Madrid kind of goes from Washington, D.C. to near Chicago, kind of. And a few days ago, I listened to a man on YouTube who has had an earthquake YouTube channel for about 20 years. He says some momentary, very hot spots are showing up. They show up on his raw data feed. And this has happened a couple of weeks ago at the West Coast when there were fires breaking out. But then just a few days ago, there were a whole lot more hot spots showing up right along the New Madrid Fault. He's never seen hot spots like that before. And no professional person who he had spoken to had a proper explanation of it either. I don't mean I understand it either. I only know that these might be indicators of a soon coming natural disaster, earthquake, and I know that being prepared is a very good idea. So I hope that everybody thinks about that preparedness thing and being prepared, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. We just don't know. God, Jesus, must always be our focus during times of instability and during times of great blessings. But always remember our relation with and to Jesus Christ. Okay, you can always listen to any past broadcast of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. All lowercase, no spaces. And you can get my free preparedness pamphlet by sending me a stamped self-addressed envelope. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Shine.
shine your light, shine your light.